Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new edition of the Sam Bissell Podcast on the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And right now, we bring you the latest and greatest going on around the world of Hollywood. Hope everyone is having a wonderful week so far. Hopefully, everyone is gearing up towards the weekend, the last weekend of August, before we get into the month of September, which is even kind of crazy to think about. But before that all happens, of course, I want to finish up the week, get ready for the weekend by going over some things that are going on in the world of Hollywood. And some big things are happening in the world of entertainment. I'm going to be talking about Zack Snyder's comments on director's cuts for his brand new films in Rebel Moon. I'm also going to be getting into the weekend preview. Not a whole lot of big films coming out this weekend to kind of round out the summer movie season, but some films nonetheless to get ready for, especially in the lead up to this Sunday's National Cinema Day and more. But the first thing that I do want to talk about is the big breaking news that happened overnight, and that was the inevitable announcement that Dune Part 2, the film that a lot of people have been kind of circling as one of the big films to come out for the rest of 2023, especially for the fall season, the holiday season, one that a lot of people were kind of looking forward to and was the talk, a speculation and rumors of moving due to the ongoing dual strikes done by both the Writers Guild and SAG-AFTRA. It was kind of the rumors of potentially moving off of its November 3rd, 2023 release. There was some rumors and not confirmations, but it seemed like potentially this film could move away from its spot and land somewhere else, but it wasn't definitive yet until yesterday when it was announced by multiple trades that Warner Brothers and Legendary, who are both co-partners and producing this project, decided to announce that this film would be moving away from November 3rd to March 15th of 2024. So the inevitable kind of did happen, and this film is now off the 2023 calendar, which is very unfortunate because for myself, and I know a lot of film fans and people that were looking forward to this film, that they were very excited for it and were looking forward to seeing it. The trailers for this film have been outstanding. Hearing about this movie, hearing the love that director Denis Villeneuve has for it, the incredible cast that is a part of this film, including Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken. So there was a lot to look forward to with this movie. So we'll not be playing in the November 3rd, 2023 spot. It will be playing in March 15th, like I said before. It will be retaining its IMAX screens, so even though it's moving away from what was reported to be a six-week run in IMAX if it was to keep its November date, it's right now, it's not determined yet what the weeks are, but when it does hit on March 15th of next year, it will keep its IMAX screenings. Legendary, reporting according to the reports, was a key figure in making this decision, which makes a ton of sense since they are kind of the primary money handlers on this situation. So it would make sense that they would want to kind of make a definitive answer on where they stand with this movie. So they were apparently a key figure in the inevitable end conclusion of this discussion. And speaking of other films that might be vying for this spot, the Marvels might be taking over those IMAX screens on November 3rd. Instead of being in its November 10th spot, it might move up a week to take on that November 3rd and have an extended run in IMAX. So there will be something to fill that void in IMAX screens, so theaters won't just have nothing playing there for a long period of time. And because of Dune Part 2 moving, there are also reports of usually when a big film like this happens, it usually takes place of another film and kind of starts a little bit of a chain reaction, and that's what happened in this instance. So because Dune Part 2 is moving to March 15th of next year, the film that was originally supposed to come out on that date, which was Godzilla Kong The New Empire, is moving from the 15th to just a few weeks later, so it'll still be in that spring corridor. It'll be moving to April 12th of 2024, and then the film that was supposed to come out that weekend on the 12th is moving well into 2024, and that is the new animated film from Warner Brothers Animation and New Line in the Lord of the Rings franchise, Lord of the Rings The War of Rohirrim, and that is moving to December 14th of 2024. So it's moving away from the spring season all the way to the winter holiday time frame to try to see if it can drum up some money there and get people to the theaters during that time window. There were also some other surprising revelations made in the announcements for this. So while Dune is moving away, there was a lot of course, other speculation on some of the other films that Warner Brothers has coming out in high-profile spots for high-profile titles that'll be coming out in the December frame. And it seems like those films will not be moving away anytime soon, even though the SAG-AFTRA strike and the WGA strike are still not done at this point. They're still unresolved. They are sticking with their release dates as of right now. So those films include Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, which is still on its release date of December 20th. You have the musical adaptation based on the Steven Spielberg classic, The Color Purple, which is still in its slot of December 25th. So right during or right on the Christmas Day holiday, that is when that film will be coming out. And then a few weeks prior to that is when the new Timothy Chalamet prequel for Willy Wonka titled Wonka comes out on December 15th. So those films, which are really just purely run and produced by Warner Brothers, are staying in those slots as of right now. So that might give an indication of where the studio feels like these two strikes, specifically the SAG strike, could be ending. It could be maybe in September, October, November. But it gives an idea that maybe by December, everything will be resolved and that those films can have promotions done for those respective movies. And that's really where a lot of this is kind of coming from. And especially with Dune Part 2, because of the SAG-AFTRA strike in particular, no actors can really promote their films right now. And that's been kind of the big question for a lot of these films. You saw recently where the other Zendaya film that was set to come out in just a couple of weeks and be right around the time of festival season with Challengers was moved, and then the same thing with Kraven the Hunter, which was a big Marvel property from Sony that was set to come out in October of this year, moved because they want the full press tour for their stars to promote their films. Zendaya specifically to promote Challengers, because really without her, there's really no way to support that film. And I feel like for the studios that are and producers that are supporting that film, they feel like if they can use the star power of Zendaya, they're not going to draw huge box office numbers, but for a little film like that, they could really make a dent and do some good money in whatever corridor they're going to be releasing. Now it'll be towards the March corridor or rather the April corridor of next year. So that'll maybe be able to drum up some money before the summer movie season begins next year. And then the same thing with Kraven the Hunter. There were reports that they wanted Aaron Taylor Johnson to be kind of the leading man of this, which he is. And they wanted the full press tour, the global press tour, where they take him to all these different locations around the world and really get people excited for this film. And the same thing can be said for what Warner Brothers and Legendary wanted to do for Dune Part 2. Even though, yes, of course, you have incredible actors in those roles, Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, Florence Pugh, Austin Butler, Josh Brolin, Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, and I could go on and on with the rest of the cast. Great actors, you want them a part of their project because they're great. But also, I said this a month ago, when these rumors were starting to percolate about Dune moving, is that the other half of an actor's job is when it comes to press time and promoting the film when they go on this extensive tour. And for this movie, a big part of getting people excited about this film is the cast and the people that are associated with this film. I remember when the first Dune came out, and sure, that one did really, really well for itself, especially coming out during the pandemic time in 2021. But imagine what it could have done if it didn't have the pandemic to kind of really restrict it. And a lot of people were going to see that film, from what I could kind of hear walking out of the theater, wanted to go see Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya. It wasn't because it was Dune and it was based off of this novel and it was Denis Villeneuve. It was because of the stars that were in there and the young stars that are associated with this as well. And that's kind of the target demographic that Warner Brothers, Legendary, the directors, the producers all want to bring to the theaters once this film finally comes out. So you want the full press tour to be given for this movie. So I can very much understand for why you would want the film to be moved. So I can completely understand it. It's a shame as a film fan, and I think for a lot of film people and just in general fans of this property, these films, the director, the cast, it's a shame because the trailers have looked incredible. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal in promoting this film, and it's just a shame that we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to see this epic film in action. But I'm sure once it actually does come out, it'll be worth the wait. And then the other part of the story that's very interesting are these other films that are kind of set to come out still in 2023. And again, like I was saying, doesn't seem like Warner Brothers is worrying about the strike, at least leaking into the holiday times, and for these films to get some kind of promotion done before they're released in December. And from what I read on reports and from what I've been hearing is that clearly exhibitors are kind of imploring for studios to keep these films in theaters, and because of the fact that even though there are delays that are potentially happening with these films, it's not like theaters are shutting down anytime soon, and you still want things to come out for movies. And so I think for a lot of these studios, they're just, I think, willing to bite on the bullet and just kind of trug these films in no matter what. So there still needs to be kind of a pipeline for the exhibitioners, because they're coming off of a pretty good summer. They want to keep that momentum going in the fall, because what happened last year was that it was a very good summer movie season in 2022, but then once you got to July, September, October, it was very, very, very stagnant in what was coming out. Maybe a big film here and there that got people to the theaters, like a Black Panther Wakanda Forever, or maybe a Halloween or something along those lines, but there was nothing that was keeping the momentum going. And so at least with the summer movie season, no matter the highs or lows that came with it, there was a pipeline of content that was coming out, big titles one after the other. So you just gotta kind of, you have to keep that going no matter what, to keep the lights moving at this point. And so right now for theaters, they just want to keep that pipeline moving no matter what, strike, no strike, just keep it coming. And for right now, even though there's a few films, a lot of the bigger films as of right now are still kind of maintaining with their release dates. None of the Apple movies are moving, like Killers of the Flower Moon or Napoleon at this time. Equalizer 3 is still set to come out for Labor Day of next week. You still have some of the September releases like The Creator, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3. You also have The Expendables 4. All those films, as at least as of right now, are still holding in their September windows right now. And then you go forward to October, The Exorcism, Nights at Freddy's, all these films are maintaining. Again, some of those later release dates could very well move potentially, but as of right now, they're sticking with their release dates at this particular moment in time. And films are still putting out trailers. Studios are still putting out trailers and release dates for some of these films right now. And I just think that we're not going to see a big kind of reshuffling like we did during the COVID-19 days, but we are going to potentially see some films move right now. And the Marvels is included in that of not moving. There's, again, the reports of what I was saying before, or that it's going to keep with its November release date, whether it moves, stays at November 10th, or whether it moves up a week now that Dune Part 2 is no longer there and takes another week of IMAX screens, now that it could really have the full month to itself before December rolls around. So I think it makes sense that exhibitors want to keep this going. I think the studios want to keep this going as well. So I think even though this is a big blow, there's still a lot of stuff to really look forward to this fall season. And then the other big question that I have when it comes to some of these other releases is just kind of a generic question of, is it smart to have these three films come out very close to one another? And the thing that is very interesting to me is that, again, all three of those films are Warner Brothers releases. Aquaman from DC, The Color Purple, part of Warner Brothers library. Wonka, part of Warner Brothers library. And they're going to really kind of eat each other up. I think Aquaman 2, it makes sense. I just think Warner Brothers DC just want to get this era, the rest of these titles from the older DC era, out of the way so they can go on to the new stuff that they have going on and kind of reset the market when it comes to at least DC adaptations of their comic book worlds. And so it makes sense to see that stay the same. And the first Aquaman film at least made over $1 billion during that same corridor. Even though it was back in 2018, it still had success. So you could at least hope in some way to have somewhat similar success, even though if it doesn't match what that film did all those years ago. But the other two that are quite interesting, because Color Purple and Wonka, even though you could say one is much more relatable maybe to kids and Wonka, and one might be for other audiences, older audience members in the Color Purple, they're both within the musical genre. They're both films that are that deal with songs and dancing and have kind of upbeat lessons and energy to them. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Warner Brothers doesn't cannibalize on themselves with those two films, because they both probably, I'm sure, cost very, very good amount of money to make those two movies. And so you want to make sure each one of them have their due time in theaters. And because they're coming from the same studio, you don't want to cannibalize one film over the other. You want them to be able to breathe and have some kind of success. Even if it's just for a couple of weeks, you still want to give that ample time for a film to kind of have a little bit of life to breathe for itself, at least not being suffocated by another one of your studio films. So I just think it would be smart maybe to move one film over the other. I know that there's been some theories going around and some people have been kind of strategizing themselves that are within the space, saying maybe you move Wonka to the November 3rd spot, filling in for Dune Part 2. It's still within the holiday season. Then I can understand that as well. And I could say vice versa. You could do the same thing with Color Purple and with Wonka as well. But just, again, giving at least a month is well more than enough to at least give a film some breathing room to collect the amount of money that would need to, hopefully, to take its budget back or exceed it, and make some kind of a profit. So we'll see, but that one is a little head scratching to me. I would move some of those films around, but again, in terms of content pipeline, Warner Brothers might just be saying, you want content? We'll give you this stuff in theaters no matter what, and at least they're sticking with their guns at this particular moment of time. And it's a good sign, at least, that Warner Brothers is sticking with these, because maybe, again, the strike hopefully could be over by December, although given the recent negotiations between the WGA and the AMPTP, which is the producers' kind of guild and the representation for the CEOs of these specific studios, doesn't seem like it's been going all that well over the last couple of weeks. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping this maybe gets resolved by Labor Day. I've had that as kind of my end date, but we've had another strike involved with SAG. We've had multiple inferences of kind of hostility between all these different unions against the AMPTP. So we'll see where it lands. I'm hoping Labor Day weekend, but I wouldn't be shocked if this goes until September, October. So we could be in it again for a very long time. So kind of strap yourselves in and we'll see where this takes us. But another victim of the strike is within the hands of another film. And that, of course, is with Dune Part 2. So what do you guys think about this news and Warner Brothers shaking up its calendar for the fall movie season into the beginning of the 2024 movie calendar? Let me know what you think down below and leave your thoughts. And the last bit of movie news that I want to talk about on the podcast today is to get into a trailer and a conversation that we had in my last podcast episode when talking about the trailer for Zack Snyder's brand new films, a two-parter that is set to come out December of this year and April of next year in Rebel Moon. And if you know Zack Snyder, who wrote, directed, and shot these two sets of movies, he is somebody who is a different kind of cat. He is a very unique director that isn't for everyone's acquired taste, I think. I think if you watch some of his movies like 300, Watchmen, his time in the DC Universe, even something like Army of the Dead, it's a very unique set that Zach appeals to. And I'm somebody who never really used to be a fan of his, but I've said I've grown in maybe the last 5 or 6 years or so, I've really become a fan of his work. Again, I've said a film like Man of Steel to me is one of the most underrated comic book films of all time. I think it's an absolute incredible, amazing film. Almost basically called it a masterpiece on my last podcast, and I stand by it. I think it is an incredible film, and I was even a big fan of Army of the Dead when it came out last year, and I'm somebody, or rather in 2021, and I'm somebody who is a really, really enjoyable fan of his and what he's able to do. And when I heard that he was doing Rebel Moon, it got me very excited for what was to come with Zack Snyder, and the fact that this was a film that he's had in his mind for a long time. He's wanted to delve into the sci-fi realm. He's had a big inspiration for Star Wars. This at one point was a concept idea that he had for a Star Wars film before Lucasfilm was acquired by Disney, but it kind of got turned down. He decided not to do it when they were bought by the company. And so now it's turned into what it is now in these two Rebel Moon movies. and the trailer looked great. I'm excited for the film. And the other thing that Zack Snyder is very well known for is his director's cuts, which of course are very famous in today's day and age right now. One specifically that came out 2 years ago in the DC realm. And even before then, he came out with director's cuts for films like Watchmen, which made an improvement on that movie. Obviously, Zack Snyder's Justice League was a huge improvement off of the 2017 Justice League movie that came out. And so it would be kind of no surprise that for some of his other movies moving forward, he would have director's cuts. And to me, I always said that, to me, Zack Snyder always would work with a streaming service like a Netflix or even an Apple, because they don't really cut into the artistic direction for these directors. They really allow them to kind of do what they want to do, and they'll put up, for the most part, the money to do that. Although I know Netflix has kind of cut back on that a little bit. Apple, not so much, but Netflix has kind of cut back on kind of giving these big major budgets to films to do, and they cut back on a lot of the quantity of what they do. But still, they allow the directors to have a semblance of creative freedom, which I always love to see that, and I think it would always work for Zack to do that, because when you know the history of some of the films that he did, especially obviously his time in the DCU, he didn't really have that creative freedom to do that, whether it was for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, it just never really worked for him. So when I heard that he was taking Army of the Dead over to Netflix, I think that worked, and I think it really truly did work in the end results for that movie. I really did enjoy it. It was Zack Snyder on full display. And so for me, for him doing Rebel Moon, I felt the exact same way, that he could basically do whatever he wanted, and that we wouldn't really need any more director's cuts from Zack Snyder, because they will allow him to do what he wanted to do, so he could just put what he wants out there, and they really wouldn't mind what he put out there. They wouldn't be a whole lot of notes, oh, maybe cut it down here, cut it down there. Well, it turns out that Netflix, they might still be doing that right now, as Zack Snyder's come out and said for Rebel Moon that there will be director's cuts for both films. So the first part that comes out this year, and for early next year, there will be another director's cut for part two, and that they could be a little bit longer than you might think they are. So directly coming from Zack Snyder, this is what he had to say about making director's cuts for these films. The director's cut is almost to an hour of extra content. So I think it's a legitimate extended universe version. You really get to see a lot. It's just more painted in all the way. The director's cut is a settle-in deep dive, which I've notoriously done throughout my career. I don't know how I got into this director's cut thing, but I will say about it is that for me, the director's cuts have always been something I had to fight for in the past, and nobody wanted it. It was this bastard child that I always trying to put together because they felt like there was a deeper version. And with Netflix, we shot scenes just for the director's cut. So in that way, it's really a revelation because it gives that second kick at the can for big fans, like a real discovery that they would not otherwise get. I'm really excited about it. So again, I'm somebody who's been a huge fan of all the director's cuts that Zack Snyder has done throughout the years. And I can understand from his point of view how he's had success with that. But the one thing I'm not really a big fan of is I feel like right now when Zack Snyder is saying this, that there's going to be director's cuts for these films already, it's undermining what you have in front of you before it's even out. So basically you're telling audience members, watch my film right now, but you don't have to watch because a better version is actually coming out. And I just don't feel that's the right way of going about it. And again, I feel like the films somehow, some way, it's true that Zack Snyder's director's cuts improve his films somewhat instead of the initial cut. And I understand there was a report coming out and Zack's talked about how Netflix has kind of come to him and say, you know, 2 hours, a little over 2 hours might be the best when we see the viewership and the numbers for what people will go for with Netflix. So he still might have time constraints with Netflix of how much to put in there. But still, if you want to come out with a director's cut, I feel like wait for these two films to come out and then a little while later, come out and put these things on Netflix. Don't just say right out of the gate, I have director's cuts, because to me, that's not what it should be about. It shouldn't be about the director's cuts. And again, I really have liked what Zack has done with them, but you're undermining what these films are doing right now. So are you saying that the films that you're working on right now aren't what you want to see? Is that not what it is? Because to me, if you're at these streaming services, I would just say put what you think is the best film out there, because even though director's cuts can, yes, improve a movie, your initial cut should always be the film. And I know the big thing about director's cuts nowadays is there a director's cut of this? Is there a director's cut of that? And some people might say, well, I have some things on the block that I might want to keep, but overall, this is the movie that I have. And that's what a lot of people have said. If you look back on Martin Scorsese, he said a bunch of times that the movie he makes is the movie that is out there. There is no additional director's cut. Same thing with Steven Spielberg and some of these other big-time directors, Christopher Nolan. They make sure there's longer versions of films. Denis Villeneuve has even said it. Sure, there's longer versions of these movies that you have. That's what a first draft is. That's what a first cut, a second cut, third cut. But it's making and constraining it to a point where you make it as best as you possibly can for yourself, for audiences. You're making the best overall movie that you think people will enjoy and have a really good time with and come to really, really love, hopefully. And I just think for Zack Snyder, I can understand, and I know he's found a fan base with that. And if these movies came out and then 6 months to a year later he put out director's cuts, I wouldn't mind that, because it's like, okay, maybe there's some additional stuff. And I know Quentin Tarantino did that at one point with The Hateful Eight, where he kind of broke it down to like a mini series for Netflix, but that was years after The Hateful Eight came out in theaters. So to me, it's just kind of like you're downplaying what you are going to put out in these first two films initially and then put out the director's cut. So again, I really like Zack Snyder as a filmmaker. I'm a fan of his work. I do like and enjoy his director's cuts. I do think they improve the film, but that's years after they have come out. It's not when you still have to promote and do press for the film and you haven't come out with your initial cuts for these films. Let the films do the speaking for themselves. Maybe this will be the first time that I like the original cut over the director's cut. So for me, I don't think it's a smart decision to say that right now. I understand why he would, because again, there's somebody who's more associated with the director's cut than anybody in Hollywood. It is Zack Snyder. But again, I would hold off on it until after these initial versions came out. But even with that said, I'm still excited for these two movies. I'm excited to see what this cast and crew are going to be able to do with these new worlds that they've created. And I'm a fan of original science fiction, and I think we need that right now. We do need original sci-fi in a place where, even though I love Star Wars and Star Trek, that feels like all we're being given as audience members right now. So to see something new and different with a film like The Creator, or even with these Rebel Moon films, I think it's a breath of fresh air, and I'm excited to see these films, even though I would probably not want to know about a director's cut until well after, whether I like or don't like the initial cuts that are coming out for Rebel Moon. But what do you guys think? Do you think that announcing director's cuts before these films even come out devalues these films in general? Or do you think it's just for the fans of Zack Snyder and they'll watch both cuts no matter what? Let me know what you think down below and leave your thoughts. And the final thing that I want to talk about on the podcast today, as it is the last weekend of August, and even though there's one more week left of the summer movie season, it's really kind of getting to the dwindling days of summer. And with that, with the last weekend of August, there isn't anything huge coming out this weekend, but there are some films to definitely be on the lookout for this weekend. So I'm going to kind of break them all down and tell you the films that you should be looking out for this weekend, especially since on Sunday, it's been announced that it is going to be National Cinema Day, the second consecutive year that a day like that is going to be planned across all movie theaters around the U.S., where basically for $4, you can see any film that you desire for the entire day. So whether you see Oppenheimer in IMAX, $4. If you want to go see Barbie in Dolby or a regular format theater, you can go see it for $4. Or if you take a family member of two or three, it's only $12 for everyone. So it's a very exciting time, and I think it kind of gets people back into the theaters and to see these films that maybe you didn't get to see and check out the first time, or if you want to go back and see a repeat viewing of them, you can do that this weekend. And while there's a lot of great films that have already come out, like Oppenheimer and Barbie and Mission Impossible 7, and some of these other movies, there's still some things to look forward to this upcoming weekend that are hot off the presses hitting the theaters. The first one that I want to talk about is a film that came out a few weeks ago in kind of a limited special preview release, and that is the new Neil Blomkamp film, Gran Turismo, which if you want to check out my full review for the film, which I did a couple weeks ago, you can check that out on the podcast. It's just titled Gran Turismo Review. I get my full thoughts and opinions on the movie, but just to kind of give a brief summarization on what I thought about it. Well, first, it's directed by Neil Blomkamp, who's directed films like District 9, Chappie, Elysium, and it stars a really good cast that includes David Harbour, Orlando Bloom, and Archie Mataway, who stars as the main character of this film. It's basically based off of not just the video game Gran Turismo, but it's based on an actual true story that takes place in this world, where basically it tells the true story of Jan Martinborough, who basically becomes a professional race car driver because of given the opportunity of Gran Turismo. And it shows the evolution from him as a gamer into an actual racer. And it's a really interesting true story. And the way that Neil Blomkamp pulls it off is incredible. I really, really enjoy this film. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. I really like the trailers for this one. The racing sequences are awesome. The actual underdog story is a really good underdog story that I think people will get behind. It's a really good emotional pull into the film that I think people would be able to relate to, and just kind of defying all the odds and doing what you love no matter what, and getting to that success in doing what you love, and the trials and tribulations that come across with it. So overall, I think this is one of those kind of diamonds in the rough that I hope does well at the box office and people actually go see this film, because I, again, very much enjoyed it. Then you have some other films coming out. Another one that I'm really looking forward to, haven't checked it out yet, but it's kind of probably the big name release alongside Gran Turismo this weekend, is the coming of age teen comedy Bottoms, which is directed by Emma Siegelman, who, if you know the name, a couple years ago she made her directorial debut with Shiva Baby, which is a very underrated film in my opinion. It stars Rachel Sonnet, Ayo Edebiri, who, of course, if you know that name, she was just voicing April in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, or you might know her better in the hit Hulu show The Bear. It also stars Havana Rose, Liu. You also have Marshawn Lynch in this film. If you're an NFL fan, it's wild to see Marshawn Lynch in a film like this, but it'll be exciting to see. And the basic premise of this film is that it follows two high school senior girls, played by Sonnet and Edebiri, who set up a fight club as a guise to hook up with cheerleaders. And after seeing the trailers for this one, it gets me excited. I'm always somebody who's looking for kind of that coming of age teen comedy film. I feel like there's not a whole lot of them in today's day and age. So to get one, we've had Booksmart a couple years ago, which was the last kind of true big staple of that. I really enjoyed that film. So hopefully this film lives up to those expectations as well. It's got a really good Rotten Tomato score right now. It's at around 98-99% on RT. So very good scores. I remember hearing great things about this when it premiered at South by Southwest in March. So I'm very excited to see this film, and one that I'm definitely going to check out, and one that I highly recommend you get a chance to check out if you haven't already. Some other films that are coming out to be on the lookout for: another one in theaters, The Retribution, another Liam Neeson action vehicle. This time he has to protect his kids while driving a car. So if you're kind of still into the Liam Neeson action adventure films that he's doing in today's day and age, that could be one for you to check out as well. Also on the streaming side, there are some films that you might want to check out. There's one that's hitting Netflix this weekend. It is a comedy drama that is produced by Adam Sandler and stars two of his daughters. It stars Jackie Sandler and Sunny Sandler, also starring Idina Menzel and Adam Sandler as well. It's basically called You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah. And it's basically about these two best friends who have always dreamed about having an epic bat mitzvah, but things start to go comically awry when a popular boy in middle school drama threatens their friendship and their right of passage. And the trailers for this one have looked very good as well. So if you're looking for teen comedy dramas this weekend, it seems like Bottoms and You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah might be the ones you want to look forward to. And if you want to kind of just have a fun time at home and you want to see something that John Cena is in, look no further than on Hulu with Vacation Friends 2, which is a sequel to the hit Hulu show that came out in 2021. This time you see Little Ray Howard and John Cena united once again. So the trailers of this one look like, if you were a fan of the first one, seem like you'll get some of the same in this film. So there's definitely a smorgasbord of films to see this weekend. So you, in theaters, you have Gran Turismo, you have Retribution, you have Bottoms, then on streaming, on Netflix, you have You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah, and then on Hulu, you have Vacation Friends 2. So definitely some films to be on the lookout for if you are just kind of looking to enjoy the waning weeks and days of the summer movie season and get ready for the fall season. Those are some new releases to check out. Again, if you've already seen films like Barbie, Oppenheimer, Mission Impossible, Elemental, Indiana Jones, Insidious, Talk to Me. If you've seen all those films, these are definitely some brand new ones for you to check out this weekend. And with that down and out of the way, that will do it for this edition of the Sam Bassell Podcast. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out my channel for more content. You can check me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and much more. Also, make sure to tune in on to the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And be sure to check out the other amazing shows that are on here, such as You Mad Bro, the number one source of what the internet is pissed off about on a weekly basis. Also, make sure to check out Goal Driven Professionals, geared toward improving client relations, return on investment, and customer acquisition costs for independent businesses and services. Also, make sure to check out The Daily Grind, a weekly motivational podcast with Kelly Johnson, giving you everyday tips and key takeaways on reaching your goals. Also along the way, make sure to check out these other amazing shows on the Podcast Solutions, such as Wrestle Addict Radio, WrestleMania Podcast, and Midnight Showing. You can check these out and so much more on the website, ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, also on Facebook and Twitter at Real Ambiguous, and if you want to check out Canterbury Treehouse, use the coupon code AMBIGUOUS. Also, when you get a chance, make sure to follow me on social media. You can find me on X, at Bassell Samuel, that's BUSSELLSAMUEL, and also on Facebook at Sam Bassell. Once again, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful weekend. Hope you enjoy National Cinema Day if you go this Sunday to check it out. And until next time, keep on screening.